In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God. You who have done great things, who, O Lord, is like you? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you. I, whom you have redeemed, my tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. For those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Well, it is a new year. And what will 2019 bring? Almost dare ask that question, really. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't know what the future holds. In that sense, if we did, as the hymn writer has it, we may be sad. More than that, we might be rather alarmed. But we can trust the Lord a day at a time. As we turn the pages over of history, as it were, one day at a time. Of course, we take things from 2018 into 2019. We don't get a complete restart. But of course, there are many out there trying new month, new year, to do it differently. But it's not about resolutions, is it? It's about the revolution that the Lord Jesus Christ brings, transforming and changing lives. I read something that Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote, which really got me just thinking about how sad it is without Christ in your heart. How sad it is to not have the hope of the Lord Jesus and all that he offers and promises. Tennyson said, "Hope smiles from the threshold of the year to come, whispering, it will be happier." And I thought, really? Is that it? Is that all there is to offer? Just a bit of positivity. It will be happier. Well, as we walk with the Lord, as we get to know the Lord more, it will be happier. It will be better, guaranteed, as we walk with him. That revolution in our hearts and lives transforming things makes all the difference. Now, I was born in 1966, and so in my childhood, and particularly my early teens, I'm part of that generation where records came out from time to time with, now that's what I call music. And I got volume one. Okay, I got volume one. Last year, they released, now that's what I call music, volume 100. I felt so old. Now, don't panic. They don't bring one out every year. They bring about three out, or four, possibly. They just bring them out whenever. But you're all aware of the concept of the greatest hits, aren't you? That record, CD, whatever, that puts the best of the singer's music through the years, all together. Well, I mention that because Psalm 71 is a bit of a greatest hits of the Psalms. There's a bit of plagiarism going on here because some of these lines are drawn from other places and put together in a wonderful way. The psalmist draws from a number of songs. Now, that shouldn't surprise us because the psalmist is there as a worship leader in the temple. And so he hears songs. And like you and me, you know, in Christ alone, you'll be singing that this week, okay? You'll just come back to you because you know it and it's just got one of those tunes and the words are so powerful. And in the same way, the psalmist gathers together a few lines here and a few lines there to express what he is feeling, but he does draw from the greatest hits. As you read through this psalm, you realize that this psalmist is an older man. He's reflecting back. He wants to remind his generation, and indeed every generation, of God's goodness in always being the help and hope of his people. The psalmist lived in days, great days of compromise. Nothing's changed under the sun, has it really? But even in temple days, amongst God's people, there were days where they were happy to go along with worshipping the Lord alongside other gods. But the psalmist knew that it could not be and should not be. And he's mindful of that in what he addresses in these verses. He lifts up the name of the Lord. He reminds us that there's no one like our God. No comparison anywhere. Well, I want to take this evening verse 15 as a text. That's a good start. Verse 14 is my text. Verse 14 and the first part of it. But as for me, I will always have hope. Just that. But as for me, I will always have hope. Just think of those first four words. But as for me. Almost an echo of Joshua, isn't there? As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. The psalmist is saying, as for me, I'm going to do it differently. I'm not going to do it like everybody else. Others can be compromised, but I'm not compromising on this. So he speaks of a difference. And he speaks of a defiance. As for me. And he speaks with dedication, committing himself to the Lord. And so in looking at the psalmist, don't you see a Christian perspective? Because we are supposed to be different. We are made holy through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We live a different way to those around us. As for me, I'll be different because I'm following Christ. As for me, I'll be defiant because one of the things the scripture speaks of is we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. We are pilgrims passing through. We'll be different and defiant. And we'll be dedicated, as we heard this morning, followers of the Master, as Peter had those encounters and was told to follow. So you and I are to follow on, to follow closely. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. If that had been available, I'm sure the psalmist would have put that in his greatest hits in Psalm 71. Because that's exactly what he wants to say. I have decided to follow. No turning back. No compromise. No moving away from what we know of the Lord and what he's revealed to us. But the psalmist in the second part of the text, he doesn't just say, but as for me, I'm going to be stubborn and awkward and difficult. No, he says, I will always have hope. He makes a decision to live with a different mindset, a different heart set, to have hope and hope in the Lord, despite of the circumstances that he's facing. You see, in verse 20, the psalmist is not up some ivory tower or with his head in the clouds. He is facing some serious challenges. There are those who are seeking to depose him, seeking to bring him down, seeking to oppose such a position. And he's aware of the troubles. Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, even though he's going through it, yet he makes a decision, a choice. I will always have hope. Always. Not just on the good days, not when things seem just to be turning the corner, when things seem to just be going the way I want them to go, but even when they are opposed to the way I want them, all lined up against me, the odds are against me, a million to one, I will still have hope. How can he say such a thing? Well, he can say it because the Lord is his hope, because of his relationship with the Lord. And so, very simply this evening, and maybe a little shorter again this evening, because I am 3 weeks without preaching and just back from a dodgy throat, but I'm going okay at the moment, I think. I just want to put before you from Psalm 71 how the psalmist comes to this place of hoping and always hoping in the Lord. And to challenge you at the beginning of the year to put yourself there as well in whatever you're facing. And we are facing some big things as a church, and personally different ones are facing all sorts of things. But as for me, I will always have hope. That's what the psalmist said. Are you saying that? Can you say that in your situation? Well, what is the hope, the source of the hope, the hope's source? In what is the psalmist's hope? Or should we better say, in whom is the psalmist's hope? Because there in verse 5, you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord. You have been my hope. Here is the relationship. This man doesn't just go to the church of the day and sing. He sings because of the relationship he knows with God. You are my hope. And he refers to the Lord as the sovereign Lord, as the one who rules, the one who is in control of things. Now, we've seen already there are troubles, and he has to accept there are troubles, even troubles that the Lord has sent to him. Yet through the troubles, the Lord is sovereign. The Lord is not on the back foot. The Lord is not playing catch up. The Lord is not unaware. The Lord is perfectly aware. He's the sovereign Lord. Indeed, as you look up this psalm, and I encourage you to do this in your own time as well, you can see that the psalmist speaks of the name of the Lord in these ways. O Lord, he says, O Lord, and O my God. My Lord, my God. But he also uses, as we've seen, O Sovereign Lord. And at the end, O Holy One of Israel. The Lord rules. And he rules and does the right thing. That's where the Holy One of Israel comes in. Because God is a God of holiness. He does the right thing. He does things the right way. And so the psalmist's hope is in who God is. Now that's good to know, isn't it? In 2019, because we have an unchangeable God, an unchanging God. And the people in this place who've worshipped over the years have worshipped the same God with the same confidence, the same faith, unchanging. And he's not let them down. So he will not let us down if we are worshipping him, if we are putting our hope and trust in him. He does what is right. The Lord is sovereign. Why the trouble then? Well, it speaks of the sinfulness of man around the psalmist. And I don't think for a minute the psalmist is pure and perfect himself. Sin is the problem, as always. Trouble comes because of sin. And God doesn't control us like robots. There is free will in all of this. But there is an overruling hand of God upon the situation, fulfilling his purposes. You see it at Calvary, don't you, primarily? You see all the wickedness, the evil, the sin. You see it in the words and the actions and all that goes on. Yet in that scenario, in that scene, you see God fulfilling his rescue plan and purpose for his people. He's sovereign. He's the king. Christmas story, you see it there. Herod's not the king. The wise men, were they kings? Well, they're not the kings of this story anyway. It's the Lord. He's the king. Overruling and reigning, bringing about a fulfillment of his purposes and plans, bringing the babe to Bethlehem so that he could be the saviour of Calvary. If the Lord is holy, some would ask, well, why the delay? Why all this uproar and all these problems? Well, surely the answer partly to that is because of God's mercy in salvation. If God was to deal with us as our sins deserve, there would be nobody left on this planet. The place would be absolutely annihilated. Who could stand before God? But because he is merciful, because of his incredible grace. And the psalmist himself picks up a little bit on this. Now, obviously, this is, you know, in days before Jesus came and walked on the earth and laid down his life for us. The psalmist says in verse 15, my mouth will tell of your salvation, though I know not its full measure. He can't fully comprehend. He knows God is at work, but he can't fully grasp in what ways and how. I know not its measure. 2019 at least presents us in a better position to know something of the measure of the mercy of God. For God sent his Son to save us, the hope of the nations. Ours is a living hope, but he conquered sin and death. And he fills with hope those who come to him, so that that hope can overflow into life's situations. As Paul puts it in Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The source of hope is God himself. And that hope has been displayed visibly for us through his Son at Calvary. And now by his Spirit he puts within us an eternal hope. A hope and a longing for what is yet to come. This is the source of the hope. And the course for the source, well, that's, again, your life and my life as things work out in our life together as church and individually too. Certain things we go through, we perhaps wish we didn't have to. I think of the story of Naomi, you remember in the book of Ruth. Remember the bitterness that she felt, the loss that she endured. And the Lord brought her back and blessed her. And again, through her, well, through Ruth and Boaz, brought forth ultimately David, and then through David, the son of David, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sovereign hand of God was on the situation. Naomi made bad choices, poor choices, and yet God turned things round for her. And for you and for me, perhaps not in such dramatic circumstances, but perhaps the choices that we have made have not always been the best. But even in the midst of them, there is hope. There is hope because of God's mercy and love. How wonderful that the psalmist, I don't know what age he was, but he does mention grey hair, so he must have. But he says, from birth, I have relied upon you. And some of us have that privilege of being brought up and encouraged in the Christian faith from very early years. That is such a treasure. That is such a wonderful thing to have. But from birth to old age, when I am old, do not cast me away. He's still depending, still hoping, still looking to the Lord. And dare I say it, even he looks with a note on the eternal, because he says in verse 20, though you've made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth you will again bring me up. Well, that may not have been resurrection as we would understand it in its fullest sense, but certainly there's no situation, he's saying, where I can end up, where you cannot lift me up, where hope, my hope is lost. When I hope in the Lord, my hope is never lost. Hope's source, that's the Lord, is with us, bringing hope to life's course. The Apostle Paul will speak of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That which is within us, spurring us on, taking us home. The hope of glory that cannot be lost, that cannot be tarnished or diminished. We have hope in life because of the Lord, and even in death. In life, he is our refuge, and this psalm speaks much about the refuge, that we can take cover in him. Be my rock of refuge. You are my strong refuge. I have taken refuge in you. The psalmist doesn't just know that that's what God's like. He's experienced it for himself. It's a wonderful psalm expressing this. This hope that he has for the future is based on what he's seen in the past. The Lord has not let him down, and so he has hope for what's to come. And I think, church, we can take heart in this. We have seen the Lord at work in all sorts of ways in recent years, but long past years here. We can have that hope. Hope in the Lord. He's still that strong refuge, that rock. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our resurrection. He's our hope in death. Even there is victory. Even there is hope. They say, don't they, where there's life, there's hope. But for the Christian, no. Beyond life, there is hope. The Christian is the eternal optimist in that sense. the source of hope and the course of hope is our daily lives. But are we looking to the Lord? Are we expecting things to change in our world, in our community, in our own lives? Will the Lord really do it? When you read something that says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Surely that should jolt us up and say, no, actually nothing is. Not even Rochford in its sinful ways. Not even our world and all its troubles. Hoping in the Lord. It's not just, you know, twiddling our thumbs. It's living in the reality of it. Hope has a source, the Lord. It has a course through our lives. It is an incredible resource. What difference does hope make? Those who hope are never put to shame, the psalmist says. Those who hope are rescued in their troubles, are given a refuge, a strong refuge. In the Lord, we have one who we can turn to whenever. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. That's precious. You don't have to book in. You can go to the refuge, to the rock, to that place of security and certainty. With the Lord, there is always hope. He has the power to change things. Well, I believe that. I hope you do. I'm not sure. He has plans to fulfill. We heard about that this morning. Things to do. People to change. A world to change. Hope. Hope in the Lord. Hope in who He is and what He can do. Remind yourself from His word of what He has done. Remind yourself of the promises He makes of what He will do. Because we find ourselves in between at the moment, don't we? We're looking for that fulfillment of the blessed hope of His coming. But we are still in that place where we can know the refuge and the rock and the hope in our daily lives. He came, says Titus, and He's coming again. He came to redeem, to purify for Himself a people that are His very own. No, I read that wrong. He's coming to redeem. He's coming to purify for Himself a people that are already His own, because He's died for us and our faith and our trust are in Him. He has the power to change things. If He can change you and change me from darkness to light, He can do that for other people in North Street. With great respect, there's nothing special about us. Well, there is now in Christ, but you know what I'm saying? The Lord can do it for whoever, wherever, whenever. Our hope is in Him. For as He has changed us and changed others with us, He can still change those around us. As we hope in the Lord, it is not a step backwards. It is not run to the refuge and shut the door, close yourself in, lock yourself away. No, from the refuge of hoping in Him, there's then work to be done in reaching out to those around us. Verse 14 goes on to say, I will praise you more and more, and my mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long. Maybe we'll come back to this at another time, but the psalmist is, as it were, up on his soapbox. He's up speaking, shouting out. Far from quietly just saying, okay, I've got that hope inside me. It's going to be okay because the Lord's in it. That was true. But he still had his part to play. praising the Lord more and more. Indeed, raising up his voice and telling of the righteousness of God's salvation. As we look out, as we look forward into 2019, as you've heard this week, we're going to meet to pray. And please, if you can come and join us. If you can't, just spend some time. It doesn't have to be Tuesday, but some day this week, just covering things in prayer and asking for the Lord's blessing on the coming year. Do you have hope in the coming year? Do you have hope in the Lord? That's the question. Not hope in politicians, not sure where that's going to end up. Not hope in other systems and other things in this world, all doomed to fail, but our Lord, Jesus Christ. He's the blessed hope. He's the one we can trust for what he's done and what he's promised he will do when he comes in glory. When others are full of doom and gloom, will you say with the psalmist, "But as for me, I will always have hope," and then look to the Lord? That is the challenge. That is the question I want you to think through as we start this year together. I jokingly said, but I stand by it, the Christian is the eternal optimist. Not optimist in the sense of we hope something's going to happen. We know it will. So we can be optimistic. We can look forward. Look forward to the eternal. It is coming. He is coming. And his kingdom with him. And we can always just look back and remind ourselves, our God is a God of resurrection power. If that could not stop him, then nothing can. He goes forward, and we want to follow him in 2019. Our God still rescues, our God still delivers those who cry to him, who look to him, who hope in him. He is our hope for 2019. I trust that you will put your hope afresh in him tonight. And as the year unfolds, you say again and again, "As for me, I will hope in the Lord. He's my hope, my strength, my refuge, my all." Amen. Oh Lord, you know our hearts and you know our world and you know, sadly, so many are hoping in all sorts of things, including themselves, and being disappointed. Even those with the best will in the world and the determination with New Year's resolutions, it will come to an end, ultimately. We cannot see it through, but you see us through. You see us through every situation as we cry to you. Thank you for bringing us together to this point, to this place. And as we go into this new year, we do affirm, Lord, as your people, that as for us, Rochford Congregational Church, we will hope in the Lord. We will always hope in you. Amen.